Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 11th, 2011. Well, I finished reading Historical Attitudes That Shaped the Church's Use of the Arts by Matthew Todd. Published by Word Alive Press, the book is short. It's about 170 pages, but only 107 of those are text. The rest are footnotes and references. I found the book at this year's Write Canada Writers Conference, and it now has passages marked and underlined for further reference. Much of what Todd writes I've heard or read before, although some of his denominational-specific information sheds new light on the arts-faith conflict for me. One of the most significant observations on the topic is found in a footnote. Quote, many evangelicals need to get over obstacles in their heritage and cross-pollinate with other Christian traditions. To be free in producing and engaging in literary art, it seems is necessary to acknowledge all truth as God's truth, wherever it is found. Furthermore, there needs to be recognition that God gives genius and gifts to all people. End quote. What Todd does in the end is give artists and churches a few challenges. In his conclusion, he writes, the struggle for renewal in loving God with heart, mind, and strength has to include a diversion from burying or suppressing artistic talents. It should entail the church preaching a theology of artistic action to free artists. The way forward points to investigating Scripture, affirming the goodness of God's creation, and encouraging art and artists in a future that holds profound potential. Well, if you want to read more on my thoughts on this book, check the Arts Watch blog at salawministries.com. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.com.
That go in circles, real nice clothes that do not fit. Here the money makes you paranoid. There's no one you can trust. The sex will leave you lonely, and the love all turns to rust. Oh, oh, this is how the to make you better till you feel the side effects. Here the dreams will make you bitter, and the truth will leave you cold, 'cause you cannot get a refund on the lies that you are sold. Oh, oh, this is how
that was More Is Less from Surrey, BC musician Carolyn Aaron's 2006 CD, Pollyanna's Attic. The Dove Award winner and Juno nominee will soon be releasing her 10th album called Love Was Here First with 10 new original songs. Sex, money, hell, and oil. What do these topics have in common? Well, they're all topics in three films Abbotsford, BC screenwriter Kevin Miller has either worked on or is working on. These aren't the first time he's taken on controversial topics. In 2008, he worked on Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, which took on science academia's attitudes toward Christians in their midst. Kevin's on the phone with us, and he's in Victoria today, talking to us from there about his latest projects, the movies Hellbound, Spoiled, and Sex Plus Money. Good evening, Kevin.
Hi, Robert. Nice to chat with you.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the movies themselves, you've had a pretty diverse career. You've been writing, co-writing, editing, and then screenwriting. How did you get started as a writer in general?
This is probably true for a lot of writers, but there's just something inside of you that says, I'm a writer. I have nothing to really show for myself at this point, but somehow I believe that inside. So something that I kind of, a path I started going down as a kid, but I was raised on a farm in rural Saskatchewan, and, it's not too popular to tell your farming parents that you want to be a writer. So you go off and do other things, but eventually I worked up the courage to really put my skills to the test, and I actually my first job I got was as a reporter for a newspaper in northern Saskatchewan, and I think it was when I got my my first paycheck and my dad realized that I could actually pay my rent by being a writer that my family really was open to the idea and became very encouraging.
Well, it's sort of that whole thing that you can't not write. There's something within you that impels you and compels you to put words on paper.
Doing it for anything other than the love of it, you're probably doing it for the wrong reason.
Well, especially if you're doing it for the money, because any of us who are writers know that not all of us make a whole lot of money at it.
No, definitely not.
Well, when did you move from, say, journalism, and I know you had a few books that you're involved with writing and publishing. When did you move into the screenwriting process?
It was actually my wife and I had two young kids at the time as well. We decided to go on a brief sabbatical with a group called Youth with a Mission, and we went to Hawaii and lived there for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Very pleasurable. And but I happened to meet a fellow by the name of David Cunningham, who's a film director, and we hit it off, and he invited me to start pitching some story ideas to him, and next thing I knew, we were on a plane together to Moscow to go do some research for the first film we ended up making together called After.
Mm-hmm. And that school in Hawaii, the Discipleship Training School, has a particular focus on the arts.
Actually, no, it didn't. Totally unrelated. And at the time, I was contemplating, I was kind of burnt out, and I was contemplating walking away from the world of writing. And so it just was sort of a thing where a friend knew a friend and introduced me to David, and suddenly a whole new possibility opened up for me. Because I had, the whole time I'm working in book publishing and that sort of thing, always dreamed of being a screenwriter, a comic book writer, something like that. And again, kind of struggling against the state of disbelief of what right do I, a kid from a farm in Saskatchewan, have to even ponder entering that world. And so, yeah, getting that opportunity to meet David was fantastic, and we ended up, forming a friendship and a good working relationship.
So,
and, even then, though, the road to getting a film made, I think it took us over 2 years from that point before we actually had the movie completed.
Now, when you're looking at some of the things you've done, documentaries like Hellbound and No Intelligence Allowed, they give you a chance to work with topics that have sort of spiritual background to it. How do you bring your faith perspective into your work as a screenwriter?
Well, to me, I think just I only have one perspective, which is my faith perspective, in that my worldview is premised on my beliefs about God and the universe. And so any topic I'm going to turn to, that's just the only perspective I have on that topic. And that's not to say, though, that I have a rigid worldview that's not open to new information. And I think the thing that's been so fantastic about my career is that I get to go into great depth on so many different topics that I'm constantly being forced to challenge everything I believe about everything. So when you go into something like intelligent design and evolution, for me, it was actually a total undoing of everything I believed, and a point of actually deep personal crisis at a certain point before you start to rebuild in light of all this information. And the same thing, will happen maybe to a lesser extent, though, but when you examine energy and the role it plays in our lives, it's absolutely fantastic. All of, you know, what you discover. And then when you look at issues of, you know, sex trafficking, now I'm looking at this issue of hell, the first thing you realize is how little you know about anything. And most of us, I think, are walking around with sort of a thumbnail sketch of reality in our minds, kind of a headline level reading of the universe. And so the joy of my job is I get to just go deep into all these different topics. And, you know, I'm a person who's probably one unmet aspiration is to get a PhD, and I kind of feel like I get to lead this great academic life anyway.
Now, when you're doing these type of things, how do you keep yourself level spiritually? How do you maintain a good, solid relationship with God and keep yourself from being overwhelmed by some of the stuff that you're researching and reading?
I think constant dialogue is huge. So constant dialogue with God over this stuff, and just really being open to listening. And I believe a lot of this has come into my life to teach me so that I can turn around and teach other people. So, I mean, I feel that this is so much a part of my relationship with God. The other thing is just being grounded in a really good community and my family. And also, I mean, I have a few guys in my life, older guys, who have functioned as mentors and friends for me for the last, you know, decade or so, and those relationships have been so crucial to just helping me to stay grounded and to keep asking the right questions and, you know, and again, just my own personal relationship with God in terms of nothing goes outside of His gaze, and I recognize that, and I'm never afraid to kind of, you know, sort of bring these things before Him.
Now, I know part of the research process in that, I know when you were doing Expelled, was doing a lot of travel and things like that. How do you maintain all of that on the road as well? How do you keep the relationships with the guys to become mentors? How do you keep that sense of community to keep yourself grounded?
Well, partly it's the group. I mean, I'm rarely traveling alone. I'm almost always traveling with a crew. And, you know, even, you know, for instance, on the film Hellbound, I mean, we just we're traveling right now in production, and it's just you form these great relationships with people. So you'll go and do interviews or, you know, film some sort of a sequence, and you're constantly as a group afterwards at dinner or as you're driving, processing all this stuff and dialoguing on it. And, you know, a lot of the people I work with are Christians, not all of them, and Christian or not, we're processing this stuff and just having a great time doing it. And, you know, to be honest, though, I mean, I do travel a lot because I teach as well as make films, and it has been a struggle at home to, you know, really keep up with those relationships. But I just have this strange life where my community extends, you know, over a vast geographical area, and we just keep in touch
mm-hmm.
other means.
And how do you keep that balance between work and home as well?
Well, I actually work at home. When I'm home, I have an office in the home, and my kids have all grown up with that. I have four kids, ages 3 to 10, and I'm, you know, I'm pretty self-disciplined. I mean, I keep a regular work day. I probably work 8 to 10 hours a day, just try and kind of be very business-like about it, and so that it's not just something I'm working all the time or I'm never working. You know, I try and just treat it like a regular job.
Well, what I want to do is I want to get into more detail on the films you're working on right now. But before we do, I need to take a quick break. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with screenwriter Kevin Miller. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Everybody wants it.
face. Can we see it's such a waste? All I need is just one taste of amazing grace. Everybody wants everything.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Everybody Wants Everything from the CD Pollyanna's Attic by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Kevin Miller. You've been working on three different films recently, Hellbound, Spoiled. Now, we have to explain that Spoiled has oil in capital letters right in the middle of that word, which indicates there's oil involved in there, and Sex and Money. Tell us quickly, how'd you get involved in all of them?
You know, one thing leads to another is what I would say. For anyone out there who's looking to, you know, work in this line of work, I mean, relationships are key, and the networking that you form. And, you know, so I got onto Spoiled because, you know, we were actually Mark Mathis, who's the executive producer of the film, was associate producer on Expelled. And as we were traveling together, he would start to tell us these, quote-unquote, outlandish things about oil and fossil fuels. And, At first we kind of mocked him, and then the more he started to talk, the more we realized what he was saying made a lot of sense. And it turns out Mark had actually spent a great deal of time working basically as a media consultant for several petroleum companies in the United States. And through that experience, he went through this conversion process in terms of his understanding of energy. And so he shared that with us, and you know, I really encouraged him, Mark, this stuff is so amazing, we've got to put this into a film. And so that's how that went. And with Sex and Money, Sex Plus Money, that was, again, through my relationship with David Cunningham. And a lot of the people, almost all the people involved in the film, come out of Youth with a Mission. And so that was just, it grew out of that relationship.
Now, you're tackling some pretty big topics there. What is your role in each of these?
Well, a lot of people are kind of surprised when they hear that I write documentaries. They look at me kind of funny and say, "People write documentaries?" And I sort of feel like, "Well, yeah. Well, how do you think? Like, who makes the decisions on, you know, what's going to be in the film?" And that's basically, as a screenwriter on any film, but particularly in a documentary, you're working with a team of people that will include producers, directors, and then myself, and you're helping to really conceptualize the film, you know, what's going to be the central image or metaphor of the film, what's the overall structure of it, who are we going to interview, and all that sort of thing. So you're kind of working at the beginning on the macro level, and then oftentimes present during production. You know, so if you're sitting in on an interview and you can kind of check with everybody afterwards, do we cover all the content we want to cover, and then, you know, make sure that's all good. And then the huge part of your job is in post-production, which is when you're editing the film. So you're, you know, I'm helping sift through the footage, decide, you know, what parts of it we're going to use, what we're not going to use, and, you know, that sort of thing. Because, you know, especially when you're making a documentary film, there's a huge discovery process that goes on even during production and editing. And I often say to people, or to students when I teach, that, you know, as scary as it may sound, sometimes it's not until you're really in the editing room that you finally ultimately realize what this film is about, even though you kind of thought you knew it all along. So it's this constant process of discovery and adaptation, and as a writer you play a really key role in keeping that process on track.
Going back to your early days as a journalist, do you find that your training as a journalist is really helping you as a writer in documentaries?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's because you're, you know, I would say the types of documentaries I do are kind of quasi-journalism, in that there's always going to be point of view injected into it, whereas a journalist, you're supposed to try and keep your point of view out. But definitely in terms of figuring out, you know, sources, how to deal with sources, how to conduct interviews, all that sort of thing, you know, a lot of those skills come into play.
Mm-hmm. Now, what stage of production are the films in right now?
Sex and Money actually is rolling out across America in about 2 days. They're going to go on a 50-state tour. And they're going to be screening it in all 50 U.S. states at least two times in every city they're stopping in. So that film is done and out there, and actually it'll be available on DVD as well by the 5th of August. And then Spoiled is complete as well, and we're looking at rolling that out in the early fall. I wish I had the initial screening date for you, but I don't have that yet. And then Hellbound, we're actually in production right now, looking to wrap production in mid-November. And then move into the editing process with a release date, I would say, in mid-2012.
Can you sort of give us, our listeners, the Reader's Digest version of what each of these films is about?
Sure. Spoiled is really asking the question, are we addicted to oil or are we spoiled by oil? And if we are spoiled by oil, what are the consequences of that? So I like to just, it's a film that's going to press some buttons because it's going to challenge a lot of the things we think we know about fossil fuels. I don't want to give away too much of what's in the film, but I'll say that we definitely look long and hard at some of the claims of the environmentalist movement, and we'll argue that that there's probably a lot more emotion rather than fact behind a lot of the things that we believe about fossil fuels. We look at the falsehoods we believe, where those come from, and how we can break free of them to, kind of develop a more positive relationship with energy. Sex Plus Money looks at the issue of sex trafficking in America, particularly of children. At any given time, there's between 100,000 to 300,000 kids, American children, who are being sexually exploited for money in America. And so this film follows a group of five 20-something photojournalists as they set out in a RV across America to find out how big this problem is and what they can do about it. And then finally, the film Hellbound that I'm working on right now, it's key that you understand that there's a question mark at the end of the title. In a sense, there's a kind of an interesting coincidence going on that this film is in production at the very moment that people are having a big argument about hell as a result of Rob Bell's book Love Wins.
Mm-hmm.
I had no conception when I first conceived of this film. I didn't really know much about Rob Bell, and I definitely had no idea who was writing this book. And so it was actually a great coincidence for me that at the moment I'm basically going out to investors trying to raise money and that sort of thing, suddenly this controversy breaks out. So this film, for me, actually grew out of some work I did. I edited a book called Her Gates Will Never Be Shut, Hope, Hell, and the New Jerusalem, which came out, I worked on that book in 2008, and it came out in 2009. And it was really a book written by Brad Jerzak of Abbotsford, B.C., that just wanted to take a second look at what we think we know about hell. And, so he looks at some of the words that are typically translated as hell. He looks at images of judgment throughout the Bible and sees that the case that people often make for hell isn't as well supported by Scripture as some people might believe. And again, I think that this is sort of a theme that rings true throughout much of the films I make, is that most of us are operating with this thumbnail sketch of reality. We don't have time. We believe these things, we repeat these things, but we don't really have time to go back and look at, well, what's the evidence that we use to form these beliefs? And so what we're doing in Hellbound is saying, okay, we have Rob Bell kind of representing, even though he probably wouldn't articulate this, but kind of suggesting universalism or ultimate reconciliation. We have on the other pole people who believe in hell as eternal conscious torment, and kind of somewhere in the middle, although I'm not sure if it's really a middle position, is annihilationism. All of these all these positions are being promoted by highly educated biblical scholars who regard Scripture as an authority, doing their best to interpret it as they see fit, and yet coming to these radically different positions. So what we're looking at in Hellbound is what's going on here? Why are we having this discussion about hell now, or maybe an argument about hell? What's coming between us and the text is drawing us to such radically different conclusions? And also, when it comes to our belief in hell, how does that really dictate how we perceive God, how we perceive Scripture, and really ultimately how we perceive ourselves as individuals?
Well, it sounds like you got some really heavy topics going on there. Once you're finished with all these, do you have any other projects coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, actually, there's another film that I've been working on with Kirk Cameron, actually, called Monumental. And it's a film, again, that takes a second look at something, and that something is really the role that Christianity played in the founding of America. So that film is in post-production right now as well, and I can't really say an exact release date yet, because I don't know for certain, but that's another one that's in post-production. As far as me working on another project after this, to be honest, I'm so focused right now on Hellbound that I have ideas, but I'm not making solid plans yet.
Where can our listeners get information about these films?
You know, a good place, each one of the films has a website. I'm trying to think of a general clearinghouse. You could go to kevinmillerxi.com. That's my my personal blog, kevinmillerxi.com. You can also, for Spoiled, you can go to spoiledthemovie.com. For Sex and Money, it's sexandmoneyfilm.com. And for Hellbound, it's hellboundthemovie.com.
Great. Kevin, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Kevin Miller. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.